Eagles Entertainment.
With the 10th pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select.
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast.
Welcome to the Journey to the Draft podcast. I'm your host, Fran Duffy, and the 2023 NFL draft is over. Just like that, the journey for 2023 is in the books. That said, we've still got a lot to talk about here for this draft class. We're going to go through what the Eagles did on day three as they make a big trade at the top of the fourth round. They go and they get Georgia cornerback Kelee Ringo. They make a trade for veteran running back DeAndre Swift. They acquire Tanner McKee, the quarterback from Stanford, in the sixth round. And then in round seven, right towards the end of the draft, they nab Texas defensive lineman Moro Ajomo. A lot to talk about, a lot to break down. I'm really excited about all four of these additions, and here to help me do that is Dane Brugler and Ben Fennell. We're going to break it all down with both of those guys. They're still out in Kansas City on the scene at the draft. Let's get into it now for Draft Buzz.
Now it's time for Draft Buzz.
All right, let's jump into day three here of the 2023 NFL Draft as we welcome in Dane Brugler and Ben Fennell. And guys, the start of the day three was really fun because we had a flurry of trades right before the draft started, Dane. Three trades right at the top, the Saints moving in, the Raiders moving in, the Eagles moving in, third pick of the round before a pick was even made. You and I were texting, it was like, oh, what could the Eagles be doing here? And it ends up being Kelee Ringo, the corner that a lot of people had as a first-round type player, potentially early day two. He ends up falling into the early stages of day three, and the Eagles get another Georgia Bulldog on defense.
Another Georgia Bulldog that fell further than should have, where we thought he'd go. Regardless of what you think about Kelee Ringo watching his tape, I mean, he is a raw player. There's no question about that. But there's just not many humans walking around that are 6'2", 210 pounds, have that type of speed, offer the package of skills that he offers. And so it's very surprising that he slipped through the first three rounds. And, you know, obviously for the Eagles to use a next year's three to go up and get him says quite a bit about what they thought. You know, this morning, kind of looking at my best available, and Kelee Ringo just, I mean, he's flashing in red lights. Like, why am I still here? Texting people around the league, just saying, hey, is this, you know, a shoulder? Is this a knee we don't know about? And I got back, no medical tags for us. No, he's clean for us. Thumbs up from us. And so it wasn't a medical issue. It's just simply a guy that is very talented, but as a football player, he's still very raw. And we have to remember, he's a true junior or redshirt sophomore.
Yeah,
you know, he's played a lot of football. He started the last 2 years, but, you know, still, you can see how raw and unpolished he is, especially reading routes and understanding what offenses are trying to do. And so it will take time, but he's going to a situation where he won't be pressed into duty from day one. He can sit, learn. You take swings on players with this type of talent and traits. And so to get him at this point, he was my 36 overall player. To get him 70 picks later, tremendous value.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like you mentioned, you know, at 6'2", 215 pounds with 4.3 speed, like there aren't a lot of guys that are 21 years old entering the draft, 2 years starting for one of the best defenses in college football history. That's just a profile that is tough to find. And Ben, especially, I think you and I like had those conversations back in the fall, you know, when we see like Tariq Woolen come into the NFL and have some immediate success out in Seattle. And it's like, oh, like, what did we miss? And it's like, well, you know, like this guy had great traits. He was just kind of a raw football player, fell to the fourth round. It's a little bit of a different story. Obviously, he was a receiver at a lower level of competition, moves over to corner late. But with Ringo, and that's just a profile, especially early in the fourth round, that you're willing to bet on.
Yeah, I think that's what day three is all about, you know, taking calculated risk and kind of betting on the upside of players. And what better upside than a 20-year-old corner at the University of Georgia, back-to-back national championship, that's 210 pounds and running the 4.3s. What a great couple boxes to check as far as projecting forward and taking a gamble and maybe giving up some future capital to do it. And I love the Eagles trying to solidify their depth this offseason from adding Greedy Williams to the undrafted free agent and Josh Jobe last year. I love that they have a type. And I feel like Ringo, Greedy, Jobe, they really fit the type that's in front of them at the starters, Darius Slay and Bradbury, big physical corners that can turn and run and play man-to-man. I think every pick kind of embodies their types. You know, Nolan Smith, Daniel Jeremiah's number one comp. I'm sure a comp from one of you guys too. Hassan Reddick. You know, they're just kind of really fitting what they're looking for through certain positions and solidifying depth. And here in Philadelphia, we know depth gets tested and it's not an excuse to not compete. So we're going to make sure the backups are ready to play. And this is one of those rosters that's always ready to play through second and third strings. And I think Kelee Ringo being a fourth round pick, he better be ready to play too. And I think it's an exciting proposition, and I'm glad he has some comfortability with all the other Georgia guys on the roster to make him feel at home.
And it's important to note too, the Eagles did not trade up to take Kalie Ringo. They traded in to that slot. They used a third round pick next year in 2024 to get that spot from the Houston Texans here in the beginning part of the fourth round. Now, sitting here watching this unfold with Ross Tucker, and Ross made a great point, is that obviously you're the Eagles. You're hoping that you're picking towards the end of round three. This was at the top of round four. And so essentially, like, you're giving a pick that's basically the same. Even if the Eagles, like, somehow, you know, don't go deep into the NFC or go back to the Super Bowl, and this is a middle of the third round pick, that's still a really good gamble to be able to make on such a talented player in Ringo. Ben, real quick, let me just bounce this back to you. Give a quick elevator speech just on Ringo, like, as a player, because we've talked about the profile, but if you could just get into, like, strengths, weaknesses, what you saw from him on tape.
Well, a big physical corner that can play press man. He likes to get up in your face, a little tight in the lower half. And I think that's what shows up in his transitions on tape, and can get beat vertically at times, can be late to find the ball at times, but he's really tough to get space on. I think he beats you up on the underneath stuff, the quick game. It's the turning and running that was hot and cold. You know, I could show you a play that's beautiful press man coverage against Tennessee, walling off a vertical, catching the ball, or a pick six or a interception in the national championship game to seal it. And then you can find a play against Florida and Anthony Richardson, dropping one in the bucket to Justin Shorter. Just a little bit inconsistent play, but he tested out of this world and has some technique things to work on. But you take chances on these types of players. My comp, actually, might surprise you guys, was Ronald Bartel, who, out of Howard, was very similar height, weight, speed, was about 6'2", 210 pounds, ran the low 4.4s, might have sniffed 4.3s at the combine, I don't remember, but was a second-round pick. And Ringo goes a little bit further, and I think you just want to take risks on these types of corners. Really good ball skills, and man, this cornerback room is big, and they're physical. And I love the challenge they're going to provide to the receiver room through training camp, through practices with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and the plethora of weapons to kind of combat those guys. And if Ringo ends up being a safety at the end of the day, that's okay too. This is a high-level player that's smart from a championship program. These are the people you fill out the depth on your roster with.
So you add a Bulldog there in Kalie Ringo, the fourth or the third Bulldog of the weekend. And then the Eagles go and they trade for veteran running back DeAndre Swift, another former Bulldog, a Philadelphia native who played at St. Joe's Prep. Dane, it's been a few years since you evaluated DeAndre Swift. Ben, you and I obviously have watched him a lot more recently, but a big addition here. Again, especially in a running back class where you saw some names go off the board there by the time you got to the early part of day three. So adding a guy like Swift for essentially, I mean, you swapped seventh round picks, and it was a fourth round pick in 2025. So we're going a couple years out now. Again, like a nice value addition for this Eagles team.
Yeah, no doubt. And people forget he was the number one running back for a lot of people in that draft. That also included Jonathan Taylor and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, J.K. Dobbins. It was a really deep group there at the top. And he was a really productive player in college. He averaged 6.56, I believe it was, yards per carry in college. And that set the school record. So this is a guy that he's a patient athlete. He can make guys miss. The way he picks, slides, jukes, able to work his way through the line of scrimmage and then get to the second level. The big question I thought coming out of Georgia was, what does he give you in the passing game as both a pass catcher and a blocker? And so needs to be more consistent there. I think that maybe some of the frustration in Detroit didn't really develop in those areas as much as they thought he would. But his ability to make defenders miss and just that instincts as a ball carrier that he brings to the field, the dynamic feet, the way he can string moves together, that start-stop acceleration that he has. I mean, it's something that still shows. And to get him for that type of package, that type of value, that's really a no-brainer. And you can bet that he's going to be motivated. I believe it's the final year of his deal, his rookie deal. And so he has a chance to really show out now at a new place.
And I think it's important to note, this guy just turned 24 years old. You know, I think he has a lot of football ahead of him, has a lot of promise and upside still ahead of him. And the big question is, why fall out of favor in Detroit? Why do they take Gibbs? Why do they go get David Montgomery? Just remember, completely different regime that brought him in. And I think they're turning over the roster as far as guys they prefer and some positional value and maybe some favoritism here and there. We saw Jeffrey Okuda traded a month or two ago. Swift was the next expected to be kind of on his way out there. And remember Hard Knocks last year. Deuce Staley, huge advocate of DeAndre Swift. Deuce passionately told the coaching staff, guys, I've been around a lot of backs in my life. this kid is special. Well, Deuce Staley was one of his big supporters, who's now in Carolina as the assistant head coach. So DeAndre Swift suddenly lost some supporters in that front office and the coaching staff. Tons of talent, tons of upside, 24 years old, coming back home here to Philadelphia. Again, these are the players you take chances on. And I think Howie, not only looking at the draft board, but looking around the league in players that maybe are falling out of favor in their situation and finding great values to take chances on. I think that's DeAndre Swift. I don't know if we need to evaluate his previous 3 years in Detroit. You know, their team was up and down. Swift has been up and down. He's had some fumbles. He's had some heartbreaking drops in the past game. Been about 50 catches a year. So he's a great dual threat back, dual threat presence for this offense. When it's all said and done, guys, could end up being running back one on this team. You know, we brought in Rashad Penny, and there's kind of a new era in the backfield. Gainwell's going to get a bigger role. But I think it's open season for somebody to grab the bull by the horns in this backfield room and say, I'm the guy. And I'm excited to see how this plays out in training camp.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you talk about like his skill set, he definitely has that kind of upside, right, Ben? I think this is a guy that his best out in space, whether it's perimeter runs, you get him on like those draws and traps and whams. You remember some of those big runs he had against the Eagles back in week one last year, where they were able to get him up to the second level, and that's where he can do work against linebackers and safeties in space. That's where he excels, certainly in the pass game as well, whether it's screen game, designed one-on-one routes out of the backfield. You can move him around the formation. Detroit did that with success these last couple of years. So an interesting addition certainly to this Eagles offense. Let's talk about one more offensive addition here. The Eagles in the sixth round selecting Stanford quarterback Tanner McKee. And Dane, this is a guy that, go back to like last summer, he was in round one mock drafts, right? There were a lot of people that were really high on McKee coming into the year. And one of the better pure like pocket passers, pocket managers in this class, obviously lacking from like an athleticism and like playmaking dimension. But this is a guy who knows how to play the position.
Really accurate player, and you know, he's a little bit taller, and I think that there are some teams that don't like those taller quarterbacks. Not a great track record of guys that are 6'6 and above making plays at the position, and that matters to some teams. But you know, I think when you watch his film, you see a guy that, even though he doesn't have that mobility, like you mentioned, to escape trouble and extend the pocket and things like that, when he sits in the pocket and makes plays downfield, it looks like NFL football. The way he uses the middle of the field, the way he can layer the ball in between coverages, use the tight end, use his receivers. That Stanford offense was a tough watch the last 2 years, not just because of the quarterback, and I don't want to put that on McKee, more because of the blocking wasn't up to what we have come to expect from Stanford football. The play calling was a mystery. They didn't have that bell cow running back. You know, we had two receivers drafted from Stanford this year, but Wilson was always hurt, Higgins. They should have used him better. Tanner McKee, I understand why a team looks at him and says, hey, this is a guy we like. We think there's NFL ability here. And again, it comes back to the accuracy. When you can work the middle of the field like he does and hit your tight end down the field on a seam route in between the safety and the linebacker, but you know, you're doing it with timing. You're doing it with an understanding of what the defense is trying to do to you. So Tanner McKee, at that point in the draft especially, I graded him as a fifth-round pick. You're able to get him in the sixth. You know, I certainly understand why the Eagles would take that swing, even though quarterback not at the top of the list of priorities.
Yeah, and Fran, I think I remember watching his tape over the summer with you, and some of his best ball had some Matt Ryan flashes, you know, at times. You know,
Yeah, the way he carries himself, the way that he like drops back, like his like the way like his ball carriage and his release, it looks like, obviously he's a different. I mean, Matt Ryan was the third overall pick, right?
Like the aesthetics, the mannerisms, yes, the ball handling, the size, the poise, and fairly accurate. A lot of the stuff off play action. Love the way he hit Benjamin Urosek, the tight end, over the middle, went back. Complicated career, though. You know, just turned 23 2 days ago, went on the mission of Brazil. So he's an older redshirt sophomore, which is kind of rare with the turbulence in the program, the coaching staff, everything Dane highlighted. Absolutely is true. I mean, Elijah Higgins was announced as a tight end today with Denver. You know, it just wasn't the skill set of explosive playmakers you wanted at your disposal. People were begging for him to go back, but with the age and the turnover at the roster and the coaching and the turbulence in the program, he wanted to move on. But I think a Tanner McKee being a sixth round pick, which it pains me to see a redshirt sophomore be a sixth round pick, or Luke Whipler going late in the draft. I want those guys to go early because they're really betting on themselves. This guy's a perfect candidate as like a scout team practice squad guy. So don't need to thrust him into, hey, you need to compete to be the backup this year. It's a really good piece. And he's a little bit of a, you know, beta to some alphas that they have in the quarterback room. And I don't know if that was the right analogy, but the Mariotas and Ian Books and Jalen Hurts all embody the same type of skill set. Tanner McKee might be the Daniel Jones on the scout team, you know, when we play the Giants twice a year. So I think he brings just a little bit different style as well, which is going to challenge the defensive backs, going to challenge the receivers just to play and get comfortable with a different type of quarterback. And I'm excited to diversify position groups. As much as on defense, we like to find those cookie cutter backups. Offense, it's all about fielding that basketball team, diversifying your weapons, diversifying your scout team, making sure your team is ready to go in different areas. So I like the pickup in the sixth round. These are the types to take a chance on.
So let me tell you both. We were in studio getting ready to go live for when the draft ends. The Eagles had a pick towards the end of the seventh round. And when it came across my phone that the Eagles were drafting Texas defensive tackle Moro Ajomo, I like stood up and threw a fist bump. I thought that was an outstanding selection in the seventh round. It was just an outstanding profile to bet on. Dane, you did a great job of kind of outlining his background in the beast. I'll let you kind of set the table for just from a background standpoint, like Moro Ajomo and his journey to the NFL.
Yeah, he's born in Nigeria. I mean, that's where he grew up. His parents were missionaries. His father's a pastor. And when he was 7 years old, they moved to California. They relocate to Texas. And somewhere along the way, he learned about this game called football. And he's a young player, one of the youngest players he's a fifth-year player at Texas, but he's still just 21 years old. The way Nigeria does it, he started school 2 years earlier than they usually do here in the States. And so for a five-year player to only be 21 years old, you know, he's still young in football years as well. He was not a top recruit, but a guy that teams really, because he played at a big program in Katy, Texas. And once teams kind of really figure it out, like this college program's figured out, like, hey, this guy's a late bloomer. He's still young, even though he's a senior. He really came on late in the process, goes to Texas, and he really settled in nicely. The production doesn't jump out at you. He wasn't a big sack guy. I know some people even liked his teammate, Kendre Coburn, better as a prospect. But when you look at a player, 6'3", just over 290 pounds, still 21 years old, really long player, 34 and a half inch arms, there's traits here to work with that, you know, you could really get excited about. And so I'm surprised he lasted in the seventh, but I'm with you. It's a terrific pick because, you know, I think he's stout versus the run. I think when you have length and the play strength that he offers, you have pass rush potential. So you want to use him inside. You can use him a little bit outside too, I think. There's a lot you could do with Ajomo and a great depth addition, but more than just a depth addition. You feel like there's upside here as well.
Fran, this is like the that Texas program from the previous era where they weren't winning a lot of games, but there's just so much talent. I love seeing DeMarvian Overshown get himself drafted, Coburn, and then obviously Moro here coming to Philadelphia. These guys have so much ability. Obviously, the change in coaching staff on the defensive side of Texas, I think, set some of those developments back with those players. But that previous era where they weren't winning a lot of games, but producing, you know, Jordan Hicks and Malcolm Brown and Quandre Diggs and all these NFL players, but they're winning five games a year under Charlie Strong, they were recruiting their butts off. These guys have tons of upside, tons of ability, tons of potential. And I really think Moro embodies the Milton Williams style, just without the freak show testing. Now, Milton tested off the charts. Milton was a darling, obviously, at the combine and his pro day and in testing. I think Moro's a little bit more of a blue-collar type of player, three-tech, five-tech type of hybrid, inside-out, real hard-charging guy can get into backfields. But you don't know what his, you know, what his 1A trait is. You know, is it his freak athletic ability? Is it his ability just to play the run? His ability to be versatile? It's okay. I love the versatility on the defensive line room. I love the length. And he's played some good football. You know, I think the Alabama game this year, you saw some flashes of good, you saw some flashes of bad, and let's hope we can keep building on that good. And I really think he embodies the Jalen Carter, Milton Williams type of three tech that could also play some other spots.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy, to me, you know, the reason I get so excited about it is that he's got 34 and a half inch arms. He looks the part. I mean, I remember being down on the field at the combine and watching the defensive lineman go through workouts the very first day out in Indy. And looking at this guy, I'd be like, man, look at
his
this guy. Just look at how he is put together. so impressive. And then he had one of the better positional workouts out in Indianapolis. The testing, like, on its face, like, the raw numbers were fine. But then you look at, like, the relative athletic score, the work that MathBomb does over on his website, the end, RAS of 9.16, which is is a good number, right? So an athletic kid, really long, 21 years old. You mentioned, you know, the age and the experience. The production, obviously not there, right? Only 5 career sacks. But then when you dive into some of the, like, the PFF metrics, you look at his pass rush win rate. It was 18% on regular downs. It was 24.1% on third down. This is a guy that can get after the quarterback. Both those numbers are in the 90th plus percentile. You look at his ability against the run, 30% of his run downs were graded positively by PFF. That is in the 90th plus percentile of all defensive tackles drafted since PFF has started charting these guys. Like, a lot of these numbers are really, really impressive from, like, a metric standpoint in Ojomo. And so when you're saying, okay, like, young, athletic, long, and graded out well from an analytics standpoint, just didn't put up the crazy, like, raw production numbers. Again, like, that's a really good gamble in the 7th round. And honestly, like, if you're going to put him up against another guy that you would say is, like, kind of in that same bucket of, like, really highly athletic, developmental interior lineman who's got some versatility, he's taller and longer than Adetomiwa Adebare, right? Who everybody was loving, obviously, coming out of the combine. You know, and he fell to day 3 of the draft. But just comparing the two profiles, like, he's longer, he's played more football, he's arguably been, I would say he's been, the production has been pretty similar on, like, a down-to-down basis. This is a kid that is, you can get him 3 rounds later. Just a really impressive profile, really exciting look at what this kid could be. So I'm excited about the addition there of Moro Ojomo. Factor him in with all these other guys that we've talked about over these last 3 days. A really impressive haul here from the Philadelphia Eagles. Guys, I appreciate the time as always here on the Journey of the Draft podcast. We'll be talking to both of you here this week. Safe travels home, and we'll talk to you soon here on the Journey of the Draft podcast. All right, good stuff there from both Ben and Dane. A lot to break down here from the 2023 NFL Draft. We did it for the Eagles over these last 3 days. Obviously, if you're an Eagles fan listening and you have not listened to all of it, you can go back on the feed and check out the previous 2 episodes. If you are not an Eagles fan and you're excited to get more of our analysis throughout the course of the entire draft, we're going to be doing that over the next few weeks. Not only what teams did, the players they got, but just what it means from a team building standpoint, from a philosophy standpoint, what it says about the evaluation of this draft class as a whole. We're going to have lots of really constructive conversations over these next few weeks and continue breaking down this class. And guess what? It's not too far away. We're like a few weeks away from our 2023 college football season preview as well. We're going to go conference by conference with both Ben and Dane and talk about the top players. So if you want to get ready for who the top players are going to be next year, don't worry. We're starting that journey here in just a few weeks. That said, stay tuned. We'll be back later this week breaking down the rest of the NFL draft right here on the Journey of the Draft podcast.